Matthew chapter 6. We're preaching through the Gospel of Matthew. I like preaching through books in the Bible because it forces you to deal with subjects whether you like them or not. But we're going through Matthew, and we're in chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at the topic of prayer. And I've entitled my sermon, The 10 Principles of Prayer. So if you want to take notes, I've got 10 principles of an amazing prayer life. To grow tall spiritually, you must first learn how to kneel in times of prayer. 10 principles of prayer. So we're gonna actually kind of go over the Lord's Prayer. And you'll see, starting in verse 9, is the Lord's Prayer. So if we can have the lights. And so since we're going over the Lord's Prayer, I think it would be befitting that maybe we start with praying it. I learned it as a kid, and so I think we should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes, what is it?
I'm busy praying. If you wouldn't interrupt me, I want to get this done.
But you called me.
Well, look, I don't have a lot of time. I just kind of want to get through the prayer. I just do it by rote every day. I don't actually mean a whole lot by it, so.
Well, go on then.
All right. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
What does hallowed mean?
Lord, how do I know what it means? It's just part of the prayer. I just say it. Hallowed be thy name.
It means honored, holy, wonderful is my name.
Oh, okay, wow. All right, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Are you really looking forward to the coming of Jesus and his kingdom?
Well, Lord, of course I am. I'm so excited for the coming of Jesus. Although, if you could wait, I really want to pastor for 20 years at Mars, the best church there is in the world. And I'd like to have 20 years of retirement after that and maybe watch my great-grandchildren grow up. And then you could come back.
Your retirement may be coming sooner than you think. Oh, but boy. Go on.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
And what would that be?
I'm not sure, Lord, what your will is.
I have revealed my will in the Word of God. You know, just preaching on Sundays is not enough time to be in the Bible.
Oh, wow, that hurts, Lord. Okay, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
You need to cut out some of that bread you're eating.
Ooh,
you look
Lord,
a little overweight.
This hurts. This prayer stuff is a little bit too personal. I wasn't expecting a conversation.
Listen, prayer is dangerous. You could end up changed, you know. That's what I'm trying to bring across to you. You called on me, and here I am. Keep on praying, though. I'm interested in the next part of the prayer.
Why don't we just end the prayer right
well,
now?
Well, go on, then.
Oh, no, I'm afraid.
What are you afraid of?
I know. Okay. Forgive me my sins as I've forgiven those who have sinned against me.
What about Tomthony?
I knew you would bring him up. I'm still mad at him from what he did to me a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, do I really have to forgive him?
Well, at least you're honest. But it's not much fun carrying around that load of bitterness inside, is it?
Sometimes it feels good.
Think how unhappy you really are.
Yes, Lord.
But I can change all of that. Forgive, Tomthony.
All right, Tom. Don't do it again. All right, forgive. Forgive me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
I will guide and protect you as you follow my lead.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Great talking to you. See you later.
All right. Matthew 6. So let's go over the 10 principles of having a great prayer life. Pastor Jeff actually did a good job last week of going over some of these here. But first principle, and you can write these down, is prayer must be genuine. Verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. There are some people who pray to show off. to look very spiritual, but prayer should be genuine, it should be real, it should be from the heart. Number two, and Pastor Jeff kind of covered that last week. Number two is in verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So there's a reward. If we pray to God in secret, then God rewards us, I believe, with answered prayer. So we're to go into our room, our prayer closet, to get alone with the Lord, and just between the two of yourself and with the Lord, we're to pray. So the secret of prayer is praying in secret. The secret of prayer is praying in secret. Now look, coming together for prayer meeting is, I think, is important. Praying with at meal times for your food with your family. I can't imagine eating food without praying for it. Praying with your spouse is a must. Praying with your children at night before they go to bed. I can't imagine a parent not wanting to pray for the kids. We have prayed for our children, as my wife says, even till after they're 18. Eventually, just so you know how we did it, we prayed every night with our kids. And then as they got older, we would say to them, now, why don't you pray a little bit? So we taught them how to pray. But secret prayer, no matter how important prayer meeting is, praying over your meal, praying with your spouse, praying with your kids, secret prayer is vital to your spiritual life. Pray in secret. Principle number two. Principle number three, and most of you will like this one. Pray concisely. Pray concisely. Starting in verse 7. And these are the words of Jesus, okay? I want you to look at this very closely, because this will be a blessing for many of you that worry about the length of your prayers. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their, what? Many words. Jesus says in verse 8, do not be like them. You don't have to pray on and on and on. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. See, I grew up in a denomination where we would learn prayers, and the more spiritual you were, you would repeat the same prayers over and over and over again. You could go for hours repeating the same prayers. But Jesus is going, no. You don't have to be people who just go on and think you're more spiritual by praying so many words. God already knows what you need. At prayer meetings, sometimes I'm more impressed. Sometimes at prayer meeting, there are people that, I mean, they can just pray on and on and on. But there are other people that, you know, they come to prayer meeting and they just pray two sentences. And I think to myself, that's okay. That's what Jesus is talking about. They're just praying genuine and from the heart, and two sentences is okay. The way I like to view this is, let's say that you've got 15 minutes of time to spend talking with Billy Graham. Now tell me, which would be better? For me to, we have 15 minutes before he's going to leave. Would it be better for me to talk to him for 14 minutes and tell Billy Graham, hey, I'm in ministry, you're in ministry, I want you to tell me all the secrets and here's what I'm going through. And I talk for 14 minutes and then I say to Billy Graham, hey, I'm going to give you 1 minute at the end to answer my 14 minutes. Or would it be better for me to, in 1 minute, tell Billy Graham, hey, look, I'm in ministry, can you share with me through all your years your wisdom of being in ministry, and I let him talk for 14 minutes? Which do you think would be better? Let him talk for four. Let's say you're meeting with Jesus. You're going to meet with Jesus and you only have 15 minutes to talk with Jesus. Do you think it would be a whole lot better for me to talk for 14 minutes telling Jesus about what's going on in my life and everything, and then I give Jesus 1 minute? Or do you think it would be better for me to pray more concisely, since he already knows everything I need, so I pray more concisely and then I listen to him for 14 minutes? Which do you think would be better? listen. So pray concisely. And then let the Lord speak to you. I always view prayer, by the way, it's like a two-way conversation. Have you ever met people that when you pick up the phone, they just talk on and on and on and on, and they don't ever let you get a chance to talk? Does anyone have a friend like that? You pick up the phone, oh no, praise God for caller ID. But, and they go on and on and on and on, and they're so good. They never give you a chance, because as soon as they give you a chance, like they usually have to breathe in about a half an hour. When they give you a chance, then you, of course, you jump in and go, oh, I'd love to talk, but I got to go. They know you're going to do that, so they don't breathe. They just keep going and going and going. This is two confessions. I had this one guy in my first church who would call me like every other day. And he was one of those type. He'd just go on and on and on. And I'm not kidding. I would get on my sofa when he would call. I would take a nap. I literally would, I'd have this back in the old days when the phone was bigger. And I would just lay there. I would take like a 20-minute nap. I'd get up and say, uh-huh. And he never realized I slept through 20 minutes of his talking. And there was something about his voice that could put me to sleep. Like, oh, God. I think that that's how we are with God. So we view prayer as we call up God. Hello, God. Hey, here's what's happening. I want this. I want that. You got to help me with the finances, help me with the kids. I'm going to work, and I need this, and you need to help that country. Hey, it was good talking to you, God. Goodbye. Click. And God's up in heaven going, ah, you didn't even give me a chance to talk to you. Oh, I can't stand when you call. God wants a two-way conversation. To me, prayer is like you're kind of going through the day, and you're praying. You're always talking to the Lord, and you're listening to him. But listen, you don't think, oh, no, I can't come to prayer meeting because they'll expect me to pray for 10 minutes. You come to prayer meeting and pray 30 seconds, it's okay. Pray concisely. In fact, you know, the longest prayer in the New Testament is John 17. It's the prayer of Jesus. It's about 2 minutes long. The longest prayer in the Old Testament will only take you a few minutes to say. And in fact, the disciples came to Jesus and said, in Luke, when he goes over the Lord's Prayer, the disciples came and said, teach us how to pray. They actually never asked Jesus, teach us how to preach. But they do say to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus gives them a model prayer called the Lord's Prayer here. Does that hit you as very long? When here he is talking to the apostles, they're going to be the leaders of the church. And they come and say, hey, we want to know how to pray. If this was the opportunity, Jesus, to go, oh, I'll teach you how to pray. It's going to be hours long. We're going to, you know, this is going to be deep. Short, the Lord's Prayer. Not very long at all, okay? Pray concisely. Principle number 4. Verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Our prayers are to the Father in heaven by the leading of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, because it's because of what Jesus did on the cross, and when we give our heart to him, that we have access to the Father. And he becomes our Father. When we give our hearts to Jesus, we're adopted into his family, and no longer is God the Almighty and the Holy One and God. He becomes our Father, and we have access to him. The emperor was going through Rome, soldiers all around him. A little boy runs out of the crowd and says, hey, I want to get to the emperor. And the general says, you don't, he's the emperor, you can't get to him. And the little boy says to the general, he's your emperor, he's my father, let me through. And of course, you know, kids always have access to dad. He is our father. We have access to him. Romans 8:16 says that when we're saved, we're adopted into his family, and the Holy Spirit teaches us that we now can call God our Abba Father. Be very suspicious, by the way. There are now denominations, and a couple years ago I visited a church where they were now praying to the mother. They were going, our mother, who they were And I'm like, no. The Holy Spirit teaches us to call God our Father who art in heaven. Principle number 5 is hallowed be your name, which speaks of having a reverence for the name of God, not to be flippant in our prayers. And in the Old Testament, if you cursed your parents, if you didn't honor them, you were to be killed. You were to be stoned for not honoring your father and mother and to cursing them. I see a lot of people that they don't reverence the name of God. And so that's why you have people who don't know the Lord are praying all the time. And here's their prayers. God did that. God did that. JC that. JC, but, you know. You see, that's not reverencing the name of God. And it's not who God is. You really think, you know, these people are like, God, I want you to curse that, and I want you to curse that, and Jesus, curse that. And you really think that's what God is? That's that irreverence. That's just using God's name flippantly and not thinking. And that's not what Jesus said. No. He's your Father. Just like you would honor your own parents, we need to honor God. Hallowed honor is his name in reverence. Principle number 6, verse 10, is we pray for the coming of Jesus. Your kingdom come. We want Jesus to come and set up his kingdom on the earth, which is known as the millennium. So what is the last prayer in the Bible? So anyway, turn last. We're going to come back to Matthew. But turn to the last couple verses of the whole Bible, Revelation 22. So what does the Bible actually close out with? In Revelation 22, verse 20, Jesus is talking, and he says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And I believe Jesus is coming soon. Boy, the prophecies. And here is the prayer. Amen. And what's the prayer of the church? Come, Lord Jesus, which is Maranatha. Come, the last prayer is come, Jesus. Set up your kingdom. Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 33. I'm going to get a little political with you for a second here. Because of this last week, Isaiah 33, verse 22. I can always remember this because it's 33, 22. Now, in our government, we have three branches of our government. What are the three branches? Executive. That's the president. And the executive enforces the law. The judicial is supposed to interpret the law as opposed to making the law. And who makes the law? The legislature, the Congress. So we have these three branches. And I can't help but to think that the founding fathers must have been reading the Bible and stole those ideas from Isaiah 33, verse 22. Now, I only have a New Testament with me, so you're going to have to help me out. It's about the Lord, and it says that he is our what? He's our judge. So what branch is that? He is the Supreme Court. Okay? And then he's our lawgiver. What branch is that? That's the Congress, the legislative. And then he is our king. He's our executor. And it doesn't say something about he alone will save us. So when Jesus comes to the earth to reign on the earth, I kind of like this. He's like, hey, no more elections needed. No more politics. I am the executive, the Congress, and the Supreme Court all wrapped up in one. It's an all-in-one package. Praise God. And every Christian is, we're waiting for that day to come when God rules on the planet he created and all of us that he has created as well. All right, back in Matthew chapter 6. On Facebook, it says something like, one of the things is, who do you vote for? Or what party are you affiliated with? And I have down on my Facebook, I want Jesus as king. Probably get me into trouble eventually. All right. Principle number 7. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying, God, I want to do your will here. Just as the saints in heaven do your will in heaven, we want to follow your will on the earth. Sunday school teacher was teaching about Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man, because he was rich, he allowed money to blind him, so he didn't need God. And the rich man winds up in hell, lives without God in his life, and the poor man, you know, goes to paradise. So the teacher says to the class, to these kids, who do you want to be like? And the one little boy raises his hand and says, I want to be like the rich man while I live on earth and like Lazarus when I die. That's the equivalent of saying, I want to live like the devil while I'm on the earth, but I want to be like an angel when I go to heaven. Okay? But for the believer, we want to be like an angel now as well. We want to be a saint. We want to follow God's will on earth as we would when we are in heaven. Principle number 8. It's verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. Now, this is a part of the prayer. Since we believe this is a model prayer, this is the part where you pray for the needs, your daily needs. It may be for food. There are many, a quarter of the earth is probably starving, so perhaps every day they are praying for food for that day. But this is where your daily needs would go in. This is where you need prayer for your job. Give me wisdom on my job, my finances, for my children, for that health issue I'm going through, for my, you know, my parents. This is, you're bringing your daily needs to the Lord. However, I also believe that there's a deeper spiritual meaning than just food, but spiritual daily bread, which would be the Word of God. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so, like, I see something deeper here. Give us today our daily bread. I see, like, this is our spiritual daily bread. God, give me your word, your spiritual bread for my life. I told you prayer is a two-way conversation. So you share your daily needs to the Lord, and then you need to be in the Bible. And there's no rule how much you have to read of the Bible every day. It's just like eating food. Pretend you go to a buffet. There's no rule. There are some people that are going to eat a lot of food. There's some people that are going to eat a little bit of food. And maybe the next day, you know, the person that ate a little bit will eat a little bit more. There's no rule on how much scripture to read every day, although I think you should feed on the word every day. For some, it might be just a few verses. For others, maybe it's a paragraph. For others, maybe it's a chapter. For others, maybe you want to eat for 20 minutes, however far you get. But I do think it's important that you're in the word, because this is the main way Jesus is going to speak to you. He can speak to you through a still small voice as well, but this is going to be his main way to feed you, to have that two-way conversation. For you to pray to God and never be in his word, you are having that one-way conversation. You're just telling God, I want this, I want that, you know, and thank you, goodbye. And you never listen to him speaking to you. Principle number 9, verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. In Luke, when Jesus goes over the Lord's Prayer, he says, forgive us our sins. And that's what debts are. They're a debt because we've sinned, we owe. Forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sinned against us. In Matthew, verse 14, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So this is the part of the prayer where you confess sins in your life. And maybe as you're reading the word, you're convicted about something that God's speaking to you. And so you confess your sins to the Lord. But this is also in the prayer. If the Lord brings someone to your mind, like Tom, you need to forgive them. Now, the best way I can illustrate this, if you don't forgive them, I don't think you necessarily lose your salvation. He's still your Heavenly Father, but you definitely put a block in your prayer life, in the relationship that you have with God. So the best way I can explain this is, years ago, my two oldest daughters, Andalyn and Charity, who, since we had six kids, we had to, you know, lump our kids together in bedrooms, and the two oldest daughters always shared a room, Andalyn and Charity. And they were like two peas in a pod. They got along famously, you know. But one day when they were teenagers, they got mad at each other. And I mean, they're yelling at each other, and they're calling each other names, and they're being nasty to each other. And it was heartbreaking as a father. I was just like, oh, this is, and I mean, I'd never seen them so disgustingly angry at each other. And it hurt me as their father. So then Andalyn comes down, my oldest, and she says, hey, Dad, I need 10 bucks to buy something. And I was like, you know what, Andalyn? I'm not giving you 10 bucks. I am not in the mood. I am heartbroken how you're treating Charity. And she's like, I'm never going to speak to her again in my life. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I feel like I'd be rewarding you. I feel like I'd be ignoring how you're treating your sister. I'm just not in the mood to give you 10 bucks. Later on, Charity comes down. Hey, Dad, you know, let's go to the mall. I want to go to the mall. Let's go shopping. You know what, Charity? The way you've been treating, I don't want to go to the mall. I'm spiritually sick. And she marched off. Now, let me ask you a question. Was I still their father? Yeah, I was their father. Okay. Well, you know the rest of the story. By the evening, they're best friends again. They've made up, and like that never happened. And so the next day when they come down, hey, Dad, do you have 10 bucks? Well, here's five. I've learned with six kids, you never carry cash. Never carry cash. If you haven't learned that secret, here's five. And I can open up my wallet because I would only put in just whatever I think is going to disappear with six kids. That's all I put in my wallet. I've got $5. Here you are. And they always know to ask three times more money. So they play the game too. And then Charity comes, let's go off to the mall. Well, let's go to Walmart. All right. You know. So, but I'm in a better mood. You with me? So when you don't forgive other people, after you've asked God to forgive you of billions of sins and horrible things you've done that put Jesus on the cross, and then you go, well, I'm not going to forgive someone else. And it's often people you know. It's your own friends, neighbors, coworkers. And when you don't do that, God's like so hurt, like, ah. Oh. And I just think it hinders God answering your prayers. God's like, I'm just not in the mood. You're making me spiritually sick. I mean, everything Jesus did for you and we've done for you, and this is how you're going to treat a fellow brother or sister or another person? All right, principle 10 is then you pray for spiritual protection. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, give us spiritual eyes to see that the traps that Satan has set up for me. This is the section where we pray the armor of God to do spiritual warfare. This is the section we pray for the hedge of protection around our marriage and our kids and our home, our nation. The weakest saint who prays on their knees makes the devil what? Tremble, as the saying goes. You know, if you were Satan, see, there's power in prayer. There's incredible power in prayer, especially with spiritual warfare. If you were Satan and you were going to attack a church, what service would you attack first? Would you attack the youth group or would you attack the Sunday morning service? Would you attack maybe Sunday school? Or what service would you attack first in a church if you were Satan? Prayer meeting. And interestingly enough, I actually believe, even with the events that occurred in South Carolina, I think that's just a taste of Satan attacking, because we don't fight against flesh and blood. So I'm looking at the spiritual level. I think Satan has been attacking prayer meetings in the United States. Most churches no longer, I'm telling you, 30 years ago, when I started ministry, you'd have about, the rule of thumb was about 50% of the people in the Alliance churches came to prayer meeting. 50%. In our church, that'd be 350 people at prayer meeting instead of 30. Now, today, 30 years later, most Alliance churches don't have prayer meeting anymore. And the few Alliance churches that have prayer meeting left, it's just a handful of people. And you don't think Satan is having a heyday? As he's destroyed prayer meetings in churches across the country, Satan is like, thank you. I've got full reign in this country and what I can do. Prayer is so important. It's a sin killer. It's a victory bringer. It's an attitude dispute adjuster. It's a holiness promoter. It's an obstacle remover. It's a revealer of who Jesus is. And it's a relationship. So this is, to me, how it works if you're not used to praying. And the worship team can come. If you're not used to praying, here's what I recommend. You talk to God for 2 minutes. And then you let God talk to you for 2 minutes. You go in the Bible for 2 minutes. So it's only going to take you 4 minutes. You talk to God for 2 minutes. Keep it concise, short. You're just starting the relationship. And then you let God talk to you for 2 minutes. Now, here's what's going to happen. It's going to grow, that relationship. That's why I'm okay telling you start with 2 minutes. Because it grows. My parents got divorced when I was 14, and my mother moved away. And I had no contact with my mother for like 5 years. I went with my dad, my brother went with my mother. Well, I got a job as a midnight security guard, and I know this is going to sound weird. This is back in the 70s. But you remember back in the 70s, long distance cost a lot of money. Do you remember that? Okay, it was very expensive. Like 1 minute was like a dollar. And when you're only making $3 minimum wage, that was very expensive to pay a minute, a dollar per minute. But I got a job as a security guard job at Benjamin Moore Paints Corporation building. And they paid a one fee, since they were calling up in the country, they paid, it was really expensive, like $20,000 a month. For unlimited calling for all their salespeople at the Benjamin Moore Corporation. And they said to me, hey, Joe, we pay this one fee. Feel free to call whoever you want. It was one of the benefits. But, of course, I'm working a midnight shift, which I worked for 8 years. So I decided to call up my mother because it was long distance. And so I would call her up at 7 o'clock. And it was very, since we hadn't talked to each other for 5 years, the first time I called her, I think it was very, like, it was a minute long. And then I wish I could tell you, I called her the next day. I didn't. I called, like, a month later. And maybe that was 2 minutes long. And then a month went by, and then maybe we talked 10 minutes. By the time I was done going through college and seminary, we were talking every day for 2 hours. I'd call her at 6 in the morning, and then I had to leave at 8. It was the greatest. I have never been able to reproduce it, obviously, to this day. I feel bad. We had like 4 years of talking 2 hours every morning. But you see, it grew. And it was like a joy. Those 2 hours went like that. And that's the way it will be with the Lord. Some days you'll be busy. Other days you're going to spend more time talking to Jesus.